On Wednesday afternoon, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said that Palestine would no longer be bound by the Oslo Accords, given that Israel has continually violated the peace agreement, especially by expanding illegal settlements and by discriminating against the Palestinian people in every conceivable way. Abbas added that Israel would have to go back to bearing the responsibility for the West Bank as the occupying power. On the face of it, this was the bombshell he had promised, and which many commentators had doubted that he would deliver. But on today's show, we'll be asking if he's really serious about cancelling the Oslo Accords, or if he's once again using threats as a means to pressure Israel back to the negotiating table. But first, here's a reminder of what happened at the UN General Assembly in New York on Wednesday.
Just before Mahmoud Abbas's United Nations speech, the Palestinian flag was raised at the UN headquarters for the first time as a non-member observer state. The Palestinian president had threatened to drop a bombshell in the speech, prompting speculation he would sever ties with Israel over its settlement expansion and other hardline policies. In the end, Abbas did indeed say he was no longer bound by agreements signed with Israel.
Here we declare that as long as Israel refuses to commit to the agreements signed with us, which render us a pro forma authority without real powers, and as long as Israel refuses to cease settlement activities and to release Palestinian prisoners in accordance with our agreements, Israel has thus left us no choice but to insist that we will not remain the only ones committed to the implementation of those agreements.
Abbas also called on the United Nations to provide international protection for the Palestinian people.
We are asking for your protection. We need your protection. We need international protection. We cannot maintain the status quo. We're being hit from all sides. Aggressions are made against us from every corner, and we find no protector. The only result we have is the United Nations. We submitted an application for this. Please, 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 we call upon you and we plead with you. We need your international protection.
Whether what Abbas said constituted a bombshell or not, it was certainly his most serious warning yet that he might walk away from engagement with Israel and dissolve the Palestinian Authority.
To discuss, pick apart and debate Mahmoud Abbas's speech, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Hafsa Kara Mustafa is a British Algerian journalist and a specialist in the politics of the Middle East. And Khalid Walid is a Palestinian activist from Gaza who specializes in PR, lobbying and advocacy. Welcome both of you here today. Hafsa, if I could start off with you. So what did you make of the speech? He's made quite a strong statement there in terms of he's saying that the Oslo Accords, we are no longer bound by the Oslo Accords. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, he promised a bombshell. I don't think it was a bit of a firecracker, to be honest. I think we've known for a while that Palestine should not be bound by the Oslo Accords because, of course, Israel has violated every single term of the Oslo Accords. So why should the Palestinians have been bound for the past 20 years, in fact, let alone now in the aftermath of the onslaught on Gaza last year? And, of course, all the violations, the daily violations that the Israelis carry out against the Palestinian population. So,
I guess you're not a fan of Mahmoud Abbas, I can get that. No. But ultimately, he's gone further than he's ever gone before. I mean, the tension between Israel and Abbas, I mean, a lot of people call him a puppet of Israel, you know, enacting Israel's policy on the ground. But the tensions are obviously incredibly high.
There are, and I think this speech was essentially geared towards his domestic audience because, of course, despite the support he does have from a fraction of the Palestinians in the West Bank, I think even they are increasingly tired of all his, you know, coming back and forward and not being the firm, stern leader that they've always hoped for and expected. So I think this is a way of sort of tapping his hand on the desk and saying, I'm here. Again, just to, you know, just to satisfy the Palestinian audience, but I don't really think this amounts to much on the international stage and against Israel either.
And do you think he left just enough kind of ambiguity in his words to maybe be able to backtrack on what he said?
But that's the problem, and that's what Mahmoud Abbas has been doing for the past 15 years or so. It's constantly giving too much leeway for the Israelis, for them to come back, offer something symbolic and tedious in exchange for, again, just something for the Palestinians to be temporarily satisfied without having anything tangible. So, for instance, there's been a gain in getting the Palestinian flag on a pole. Yes, hey, hey. But, I mean, 70 years of suffering, we need much more than symbolism now. We need something more concrete for the Palestinian people.
Khalid, what did you make of the speech? I mean, you know, he said that he would drop a bombshell. And he kind of did, didn't he? What do you make of it?
Probably, in fact, the bombshell was dropped on Gaza for the past 8 years. Israel launched wars on Gaza despite Abbas's consistency on keeping peace with Israel. I think what we see here is he's been left alone, even Israel, Abbas's partner, for so many years. We know also Abbas was behind the Oslo agreement along with Arafat. Abbas has been accused of killing Arafat himself. So I think the whole picture is unclear anyway for the Palestinians. Also Abbas, as we recall, he was part of causing the disunity amongst Palestinians after the democratic choice, which was made back in 2006. Mm. So I think the speech today doesn't really add a lot to the Palestinians. In fact, from the first moments Abbas has finished his speech, I was speaking to activists in Gaza and West Bank, and they agree that Abbas didn't really represent Palestinians fully, and he hasn't been representative of Palestinians anyway. Yeah. The siege on Gaza was imposed for over 8 years. Abbas never visited the strip, the very tiny strip, despite people being killed, despite the wars on Gaza. Thousands of people, over 5,000 people were killed in Gaza. In fact, Abbas's representatives and ambassador in Egypt was hand in hand helping the Egyptians
He did call for an end to the siege of Gaza during his speech on Wednesday.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Abbas has called on ending the violations against Muslims in Jerusalem and the violations of settlers across West Bank. Mm. He did constantly or have been calling on ending the siege. Unfortunately, what we've had from Abbas is talk. So his bombshell was probably the way he spoke today. But looking at probably a good side today on this week, I think it helped the Palestinians at least to have a voice, raising the flag in the UN, some kind of a stepping stone in having a voice for so many years. Palestinians never had a voice, and I think also the events in the UN would help Palestinians to bring the suffering to the world.
Putting it back on the world's attention. It's obviously been overshadowed, hasn't it, by the last few years by things like Syria. We're going to continue this discussion in a few minutes' time. We've been collating the comments you've been leaving on our social media pages, as well as casting our eyes on what's been trending on Palestine. So here's Camilla Shambayati.
Hi, and welcome to our social media roundup. So on our Facebook page, people have been leaving their comments on what they think of Mahmoud Abbas. Rory from the UK says, Abbas does whatever Israel tells him to do, he's a puppet. And Jordan, also from the UK, says, Abbas doesn't speak for the people of Gaza or for Palestine as a whole, in fact. He has no conviction and only makes things worse for Palestinians. Moving on now, this disturbing video posted on the Facebook page of an Israeli website shows an Israeli sniper shooting a Palestinian youth in the occupied West Bank. At the moment the shot was fired, the Palestinian was standing still, leaning against the wall, and was clearly not a conceivable threat to anyone. The video has emerged just as the Israeli regime announced it would use snipers against Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem, as well as against Palestinians in historic Palestine. The video has been shared more than 3,000 times, and hundreds of comments left by Zionists express sadistic joy at the sight of soldiers shooting a Palestinian who has no rights because he lives under military rule. And finally, Palestinians have made sporting history recently as they qualify to play at the FIBA Asia Championship, which is the biggest basketball tournament in the continent. It was the first time since 1963, when Palestine joined FIBA, for their team to play at the top stage of Asian basketball. And in their opening game, they stunned one of Asia's top teams, the Philippines, with a narrow win. However, Palestine's hopes of progressing to the quarterfinals has ended as India took their place in the group. I'm afraid that's all the social media news I have for you this time. Please do follow us on Twitter and like our page on Facebook for your chance to engage with the show.
So Hafsa, you're not really buying this in the sense that you don't really believe that Mahmoud Abbas will actually go through with these threats and do himself out of a job and disestablish the Palestinian Authority itself?
Well, not really. I mean, nothing that he said was really groundbreaking. He just cited all the various violations that the Israel has committed and all the suffering of the Palestinians. We know that. You know, there's nothing new in that. Of course, it's always good to use such a platform to actually reiterate these things. But again, I don't think it doesn't translate into any proper action, and he hasn't promised or suggested doing anything of substance that could actually,
like an arms embargo or sanctions against Israel.
Actually appealing for something much more stronger from the international community. So he said what has happened. We all know what's happened, but he isn't actually using this platform to appeal to international politicians and say, well, actually, it's time that you came in and actually acted decisively against the Israeli regime.
I mean, he did say that Israel would have to bear responsibility as a direct occupier. I mean, that's not going to go down well in Israel, is it? How do you think they're going to react to this?
But then he stated the obvious, because under international law, the fate of a civilian population is the responsibility of the occupying force. So again, he hasn't really stated anything that no one didn't know. And in particular, in this forum, this is an international forum where these things are known. Again, he hasn't put pressure and he hasn't appealed to any pressure or any support from the international community to actually implement serious sanctions against Israel, despite all the violations of UN resolutions, in fact.
Khaled, I mean, his enemies often portray him as Israel's puppet, doing their dirty work on the ground in the West Bank. Is it fair to characterise him as that? Or is he, I mean, someone like Yasser Arafat, obviously we know he's no Yasser Arafat, but, you know, he is somebody who's, you know, campaigned for Palestinian rights all his life. I mean, is there nothing good we can say about this man?
I mean, probably the only not good, but the only consistency that this man had is consistency of defeat. I think he's being clearly and open about that even if he was given Safed, which is his original city in Palestine back in 48, he would not go to Safed. And I think that's disturbing to so many Palestinians, so many millions of Palestinians who live in exile, to not to be promised. He is known and he's seen as a president by neglecting an important fact, an important right of Palestinians to return to their home. So he's been clear and consistent on running after peace deals with Israel. And for sure, I think that the image at the moment is Israel is neglecting Abbas himself. His popularity has gone down in the West Bank. So I think what's after his speech is for Palestinians to get together and get a proper representation from across the spectrum. I think that's the responsibility of the Palestinians themselves.
Do Palestinians in the West Bank, do they believe in negotiations anymore?
I think things are different in West Bank than the ones in Gaza, but generally, and with the constant violations of settlers and Israel on checkpoints and other places across the West Bank, people in West Bank are losing patience with Abbas and losing patience with Israel's promise to offer them their state. So I think the bombshell will eventually take place in Palestine, West Bank, Jerusalem and Gaza. Yeah. I think I want to add a point here where even Palestinians, the Israeli Arabs or the Palestinians from the 48 are also seen as part of that big bombshell which will explode somehow, sometime. They are fed up from Israeli discrimination against them. They are not being included in the society. They are they're showing constant support to their counterparts or their brothers in West Bank and Jerusalem. So I think it's the current situation is quite dangerous on both Israel and Abbas. So I think they have to.
But the problem is there's no leadership, is there, for an uprising?
Absolutely, there's no leadership for the Palestinians. I think Palestinians have to get together somehow at some point to look for a new leaders and to look for honest representatives. I mean, we've always called for Palestinian unity. Abbas is part of it. Some other Palestinian factions, including Hamas, is part of the disunity that's happening. So I think at this international level that we have, the world needs to take that responsibility to bring Palestinians together. We need to see representatives from other parties like Hamas, for instance, on the UN level to have the clear picture on the Palestinians. Unfortunately, that's not been the case.
And they won't allow them to.
And they won't allow them to. So I just
want to bring Hafsa just for a second before we go to the next clip. I mean, Hafsa, what is Israel's game here? Because, I mean, surely if they had some brains, it would be in their own interest to prop up Mahmoud Abbas and give him a few crumbs every now and again, but they don't even seem to be doing that, do they?
Well, they enjoy the support of the first superpower in the world. They're incredibly arrogant. I don't think they have a long-term policy. I think each government of Israel thinks that he can throw the ball of the Palestinian issue to the next government and actually not go down in history as the one government that will make concessions
short-term
with the Palestinian.
Thinking, yeah.
So I think that's what they're doing. They enjoy the support of all the major powers in the world, you know, including Russia. I mean, last week, the week prior to this meeting, you know, Putin unraveled
Netanyahu,
the red carpet treatment for Netanyahu in the aftermath of the Gaza onslaught. So I think there's a level of arrogance coming from the Israelis where they don't really have to deliver. So I think that's where it's coming from. It is a short-term view, I think, because, of course, I agree with Khaled that this is a time bomb. The Palestinians will eventually erupt at some point, regardless of how it happens. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't see the Third Intifada happening anytime soon because there are too many problems, but it will happen.
Yeah.
And of course, it will reverberate on the Israelis.
We're going to develop those thoughts in a few minutes' time. As usual, we've been compiling the latest news and events from Palestine that you probably didn't see on the mainstream media. Here's what we came up with.
On the streets of Ramallah before Mahmoud Abbas's speech to the United Nations, there was growing resentment towards him and the Palestinian Authority. Some Palestinians said they hoped he would sever cooperation with the Israeli authorities, given that his hopes of setting up an independent Palestinian state through negotiations with Israel have failed. The mood in the West Bank is explosive, with anger mounting over Palestinian Authority mismanagement, Israeli threats to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and a sense of having been abandoned by the Arab world. Palestinian Muslims have been protesting in Jerusalem Al-Quds Old City after Israeli security forces blocked them from entering the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Israel has limited Muslim access in recent weeks to allow Jews to visit the site, known to them as the Temple Mount. An age limit for men at Al-Aqsa has been put in place intermittently after protests erupted, but some say they still can't get in. In an Eid address last week, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh called on Egypt to halt a project that will see the border with Gaza converted into a military-operated fish farm. Egypt has said the project is meant to put an end to cross-border underground smuggling tunnels it says are used by militants to stage attacks in Egyptian territory.
We say to our brothers in Egypt, stop this project, which doesn't just harm the environment and the infrastructure, but also impairs Egypt's history and its people.
And finally, a video posted by the news agency Palmedia shows a young Palestinian woman left to bleed on a sidewalk in the occupied West Bank city of Hebron after she was shot by Israeli soldiers last week. By evening, Palestinian media reported that the woman, 18-year-old Hadil Salah Hashlamoun, had died of her injuries. Instead of being given immediate medical treatment, the video shows her being pulled roughly out of the frame of the camera. Israeli settlers and soldiers can be seen standing around, and in some cases smiling and laughing in the background.
Khaled, we were talking before that clip about the level of frustration in the West Bank, the Al-Aqsa Mosque stuff, the price tag attacks, you know, lots of stuff going on, and it's ready for an explosion. But we've been saying that for, Third Intifada, do you think it's going to happen? Or we've been saying it for a long time now. It hasn't happened, has it?
Yeah, I remember I was on this show discussing the Third Intifada.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the matter of having another Intifada. It's just the matter of things have been loosened up from the hands of the Israelis and the hands of the Palestinian Authority and probably the hands of the international community. Things are burning, things are boiling, things are will explode somehow sometime. I think that's a matter of fact. However, the situation that we see here at the UN and even also at the European Parliament, where representation has also been with Palestinians, so there's delegations are coming from the European Parliament to Palestine. I think it on a good note that we see more awareness of that situation. I think the West, Europe, America, the UN level, things have been better in terms of understanding, better in terms of representation, and And it's an issue that people would discuss now.
Are people in West Bank, do they want a Palestinian state anymore? Are they still obsessed by it the way Mahmoud Abbas is obsessed by it? I mean, it's not going to be a viable state anyway, is it?
So I don't think it will be a viable state anyway. The issue there that people are not really talking about as a state. People are talking about their daily lives and daily living, removing the checkpoints. And easing off their lives, which Mahmoud Abbas has proven that he wasn't playing that part. In fact, Mahmoud Abbas and his security forces have attacked a number of demonstrations in the West Bank itself for protesters to support the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem and to show solidarity with them. So that's part of Oslo agreement that Abbas is now talking about abolishing it or about not getting bound with it. So I think unless we see actions on the ground, unless we see less or no cooperation with Israel on security, on arresting Palestinians, on being clear,
that would be a big move.
That would be a big move. I think with what he said, it looks great. It looks nice, but I think let's wait and see.
At the moment, it's just words. I mean, Hafsa, do the Palestinians need to change strategy now from kind of not being so obsessed with getting a state to maybe just, you know, kind of claiming their equal rights and their freedom?
Well, of course, at this stage, it's really just trying to improve their daily lives, as Khaled pointed out, and as we've seen in your report, you know, the fact that people are killed in checkpoints and left to bleed. I mean, that's just outrageous, and that's happening almost every day. But I think we have to accept and admit that the two-state solution is dead. I mean, it died many years ago, and I think that the Palestinian political solution to this is actually to aim for the one state. There is no more two-state solution, and even should the Israelis somehow concede to something towards this two-state solution, as you very well pointed out, it's just not going to be a viable state. It's going to be some sort of bizarre entity that has no military, has no power. So it's really a pointless endeavour anyway.
And where does Mahmoud Abbas go from here? Is he still going to be president? I mean, he's 80 years old now, isn't he? Is he going to still be president in a year's time or 2 years' time?
Well, I mean, he's been promising to resign for many years now. Yeah. So I don't really see where he's going now. I mean, I have to be, in fairness, I've been very critical of him, but we also have to accept that he's having to act in a very, very difficult environment. And the Israelis are not exactly the best of partners. So I think in that sense, we really have to recognise that he doesn't have the best of hands to deal politically. But of course, he's disappointed on many other levels. I think it's time for him to actually hand over to someone younger and to someone who's more in touch.
Is there anybody?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, it has to be.
This idea
that there is no one to take over is something that we hear often across the Arab world. But of course, there is the competence. Just let it emerge.
In 30 seconds, Khaled, just get a final word to you.
As well as there's Palestinian disunity, I think there's also division within Fatah movement, which Abbas leads. So Abbas technically is losing out on a lot of levels. So I think unless he stands up and give us his big bombshell, which is to really resign and stay at home and also be responsible for what he's committed against his own people. He's been arresting people. He hasn't helped Palestinians in Gaza. And I think he takes responsibility for that.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to have to cut both you guys off there because we're out of time as usual. Thanks a lot for coming in today. That's all we got time for today. Once more, thank you to all our guests. And we'll see you again next time for more analysis on the Palestinian independence struggle. Bye-bye.